Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now open your Bibles, open your minds, and join in the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight right here on AM 1220, The Word. I hope you'll be able to stick with us here this evening. And if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight. Our telephone lines are open. You can call 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'd love to hear from you tonight. And we're going to open with a word of prayer as soon as I can talk here. And just also remind you to check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And we're going to go ahead and open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we want to thank you so much again for the opportunity to be able to be on the air again tonight. Just pray, Father, that you would bless the program tonight. Use us for your glory. Help us to be a blessing and encouragement to somebody tonight, Lord. Help us point people that are searching to Christ and encourage believers in their walk with you. And we just thank you again for the opportunity. Bless now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, good to be with you tonight. And I hope you're nice and warm. And I was talking at church today, and it's hard to believe 2 weeks from tonight is Christmas Eve. It just seems hard to believe, you know, because here in northeastern Ohio, we're used to it being generally a little bit colder and snowier this time of year than what it's been. But I was out yesterday, and within probably 20 minutes of each other, I had two separate individuals say, because it was kind of rainy and everything, and they said, well, at least you don't have to shovel rain. And I had to agree with that statement. You know, my wipers do a little better getting the rain off from my car windows when I go out in the morning than they do when it's ice and things like that. And I got to get the defroggers going, get the things warmed up, and scrape out, you know, scrape with the scraper and all that sort of stuff. And I know that's coming. And you know, that's one of the nice things about northeastern Ohio is we do have some winter. And it's one of these things I can't claim as original because I still remember I heard it from somebody, but somebody once observed that northeastern Ohio has just enough of each season to get tired of it so that you're looking forward to the next season. And there is a lot of truth to that, but I do like the autumn. I like the cooler temperatures and the changing of the leaves and everything that we have in the autumn, but it's sort of bittersweet because you know what's coming. You know that winter's on its way. And then, of course, as the winter comes in, it is nice to see some new fallen snow and everything. I would take the weather that we had here recently up until, say, let's say Christmas Eve. Then it could snow, have a nice white Christmas, and last for maybe a couple of weeks, and then go back to a little more mild weather. Would be kind of nice. When I was stationed in England with the Air Force, you would think that being so much further north than where we're at, right now on the radio, I'm sitting just south of Lake Erie, just south of Cleveland in northeastern Ohio. Where I was stationed, I was located about 60 miles north of London, which put me right about, if you were to go north of here, you would have to go across Lake Erie up into Canada and up to the Hudson's Bay. I was up equivalent of the southern end of Hudson Bay is where we were located. You think, well, surely that had to be colder than here. Believe it or not, it was not colder. We did on occasion have some snow and some pretty heavy snow on occasion, but usually not much. Most of our winter seemed to be much like what we've had here today, just kind of cold, drizzly, and maybe a little windy and things of that nature. We used to actually joke that we had all four seasons. We had mostly autumn and spring. And we had a couple of weeks of winter in between autumn and spring on the one end, and a couple of weeks of summer between spring and autumn on the other end. And so the summers were generally pretty mild, very pleasant, and it was wet. It was wet all the time where we were at in England. Very, very humid, very, very drizzly in the fog, of course. You know, people think about the fog in England. Well, we had a lot of it. And part of that's because we were located where the Gulf Stream comes up out of the Gulf of Mexico area and up along the east coast of North America, and then it arcs over and it hits right smack dab on the British Isles. I remember being out on the Scilly Isles, which is out, if you go to the southwesternmost portion of England, I caught a helicopter ride from Penzance over to the Scilly Islands. And when I was out there, it was early March, and they had actually had flowers blooming where they were growing them commercially. And that's because it was so mild. And I never got there myself, but there's a location at Land's End at the very southwestern tip of England, there at Cornwall, very southwestern tip of England. You had actually a type of palm tree. I think it's a coconut, but it's a palm tree that actually grows in Great Britain. It seems hard to believe, but it's the effect of the Gulf Stream, that warm water coming up there. And in fact, the first time that I went to Great Britain, we flew over Ireland, and that was in January, the beginning of January. And you could see why it was called the Emerald Island, because it was green. Believe me, it was green. It wasn't like here, you know, where our grass is kind of brown during the winter and it's sort of dormant till in the spring, where you get some warmer weather and it starts to green up and you start getting those bright green lawns. Well, that's what Ireland looked like from the air in the first week of January when I first went over to England. So at any rate, I'm just thankful for the planet on which we live and the variation in the climate. Quite a bit different than when my wife and I were missionaries down the Samoan Islands, and we were planting church there, and it was in the tropics. And there, Christmas time, weather-wise, was the same as Easter, was the same as 4th of July, was the same as Memorial Day, was the same as Labor Day, was the same as Veterans Day. It was the same all year round. You kind of got used to it, but personally, I found it kind of boring. I like the change of seasons, and that's one of the things that Northeastern Ohio is well known for, the change of the seasons. And so we're just looking forward to see what see what we have in store for us here. And it's like they say, or I say, Northeast Ohio has weather. You don't know whether it's going to be what they forecast or not. You don't know whether it's going to be the same thing 5 minutes from now. It's weather. Everybody else has climate. Climate's pretty easy to predict. Weather, you just don't know what it's going to be. Well, as I said, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. Want to say Happy Hanukkah to our Jewish friends. And certainly this is, I think Hanukkah started on Friday. Actually, I think it started at sunset on Thursday, I think somebody said. I'd have to look at the calendar to make sure. It was either Thursday at sunset or Friday at sunset. I forget just which, but I know we're in Hanukkah right now. And so Happy Hanukkah there. And also, our prayers certainly go out to the people there in Tennessee, where the tornadoes went through here recently. And we certainly don't usually think about tornadoes at this time of year, but I guess there's at least six people who have been killed in Tennessee, and I think a couple dozen or so that are injured. These severe storms, and they believe a tornado had gone through. And so we certainly, our hearts go out for the people there. And it hit there in the Nashville area. It was one of the biggest areas, and Montgomery County, north of Nashville, near the Kentucky state line. So a lot of people, of course, in this area, northeastern Ohio, have family and friends in that part of the country, that part of Tennessee. And so certainly pray for the people there and the ones that were injured and impacted by these storms. Well, let's see. A number of other things coming up. I said Christmas coming up here soon. 2 weeks from today will be Christmas Eve, and I wanted to come back to that for a moment to let you know that we are planning a special program for Christmas Eve. Some of our listeners know Pastor John Lutz of the North Coast Baptist Church in Lakewood, Ohio. He has a program every Friday afternoon from 1 o'clock until 1:30 right here on this station. And, of course, we have a program at 1:30 until 2 o'clock, immediately after his program for the cause of Christ. And sometimes I've been able to fill in for him on his program when he's not been able to be there. Sometimes he's filled in for me on our Friday afternoon program. Sometimes we've actually combined our programs and did a whole hour as a joint program. Well, he is going to be joining me for Sunday night on Christmas Eve, just to let you know in advance. And we are just going to be talking about Christmas, and we're hoping to plan a couple special things for the Christmas Eve program. Pray for us that we can get all that together and get ready for that. In the meanwhile, as I said, check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And when you go there, you can not only find out more about me and about the program, you can listen to past programs there. You can listen to both our 10 o'clock and our 11 o'clock hour on Sunday nights, as well as our half-hour program on Friday afternoon. And there's a variety of articles. The most recent article that I have there, of course, I put together for our church's December newsletter, and I wrote on Herod and the wise men in Matthew chapter 2, and the title of the article is "The Spirit of Herod is Alive and Well," and that's posted right now online at livewithpastoral.com, as well as previous articles there. And I am going to be putting together, last year I put together a posting on our website of the various Christmas things that I have, and I'm going to repost that and, of course, be adding in this latest article, "The Spirit of Herod is Alive and Well," along with our other Christmas-themed articles that are there. And so I encourage you to check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. You can link from that to our home church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church, where I am the pastor, and that is available there. Of course, I'm the only pastor. We're a small church. I'm not an assistant pastor. I'm the only pastor. And you can find out more about us there. We meet at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield, Ohio, midway between Akron and Cleveland. And I emphasize that Suite 200. We're in a commercial building, a little commercial strip at the corner of Wheatley Road and Brecksville Road. And that's near where 77 and 271 intersect. And you can find out more about that. Just go to livewithpastoral.com, click on the link for the Bible Baptist Church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church. And I also want to let you know, if you're free on Christmas Eve, December 24th at 6 p.m. during our evening service, we're going to have our annual Christmas Eve candlelight service at the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, and you are invited. We will be singing some songs celebrating the birth of our Savior, and then afterwards we're going to share some blessings and testimonies of what God's done for us in the past year, and then after we close, we'll have a little time of fellowship, and of course, you got to have Christmas cookies. I mean, what would it be without Christmas cookies? And thankfully, I've been to a couple things already where Christmas cookies are out, and I just love Christmas cookies. They're just kind of fun and nice things that you get this time of year. So join us if you don't have any plans. Make a little time and just kind of relax and just take a little time to remember why we celebrate Christmas. And we can argue all we want over the dates and the times and this and the that's, but fact of the matter is, Jesus Christ was born. He came into this world, and that alone right there is something to celebrate. So we'll be doing that on Christmas Eve, December 24th, at Sunday night, at 6 p.m. at the Richfield Bible Baptist Church. You can check us out there online. Go to livewithpastoral.com. All right, well, We'll be sharing some other things here as we go along. But again, our phone number, if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Nancy is waiting patiently for us tonight. Nancy, welcome to the program this evening.
Oh, thank you, Pastor Al. Thank you for taking my call.
Hi, good evening.
Tonight, I would like to talk about angels. You know, angels are sort of in the picture a lot
right.
in the Christmas season. And then we always sing angels we have heard on high. I just wanted to know some details about angels. They never can marry. They're not saved. But it seems to me that they never commit any sins. So that just seems a little... funny to me, you know, that if they're not saved, how come they never sin? And then also I wanted to know, I'm just throwing a few things out. Discuss whatever one you want. Are angels ever visible to humans? A few years ago, I was on my way to Bible study, and all of a sudden there was this clunking underneath my car. And so I stopped in this parking lot. It was a deserted factory. And this man, all dressed, I mean, he came out of nowhere. This man dressed all in white, who just happened to have a coat hanger. And he said, oh, do you need some help? And I said, yes, there's a really loud clunking underneath my car as I was driving down East 222nd Street. And he gets down on the ground with his white outfit. He says, oh, your tailpipe is dragging. He said, I just happen to have a coat hanger, and I'll attach it to your car till you can get a new tailpipe. I mean, it just seemed to me he might have been an angel because the whole area was deserted. I mean, he came out of nowhere, and then he just disappeared. Do angels ever, are they ever visible to humans from your understanding?
Well, yeah, and let's start, I guess, maybe with your second question first, you know, about angels and all. The first thing that comes to my mind when you start talking about that is two passages in Hebrews. And the one is at the end of Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 13. And in Hebrews chapter 13, and I believe Paul is the human author here, we start reading in verse 1, Hebrews 13, verse 1, let brotherly love continue. And then the next thing he says in verse 2 is, be not forgetful to entertain strangers. And then notice what he said, or says, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Isn't that an interesting thought? Now, think about this.
What verse is that?
That's Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 2. Now think about this. Remember Abraham, when he was told that Sodom was going to be destroyed. Remember who told him? It was an angel of the Lord and another angel. He had a couple of angels there that he saw. I mean, he physically saw them. They interacted with them. And they also informed him, of course, that, you know, him and Sarah were going to have a child. And then, of course,
Can I just ask you something?
Yeah.
Can I just ask you a question real quick? I heard sometime long ago that an angel of the Lord is actually Jesus, but in Luke 1, it says an angel of the Lord came to Zacharias, and then later they named the angel as being Gabriel. So
right.
Is an angel of the Lord, I mean,
generally speaking,
refer to Jesus or not?
Generally speaking, in the Old Testament, an angel of the Lord is usually a pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus, the Son of God, God the Son. But not in every single instance in the Bible is an angel of the Lord referring. Because all angels, the holy angels, the ones without sin, are all angels of the Lord in that sense. Generally speaking, in the Old Testament, when you see an angel of the Lord appearing, it's generally, it is God the Son, Jesus. in a pre-incarnate. They come up with fancy words, you know, to describe them, a theophany or something like that, you know. And but it basically means that Jesus appeared in a physical form on earth before being born of Mary that we celebrate at Christmas time. And so, yeah, pre-incarnate appearance of Christ in the Old Testament, generally speaking. There are some occasions where it isn't necessarily what it means. And like you said right there, the angel of, angel Gabriel had appeared and was referred to also as Angel
first,
Lord.
The angel was called Angel of the Lord. And then later on, when he's talking to Zacharias,
right.
You know, then they name him as Gabriel.
Yeah.
So I was just a little
So
maybe in the New Testament, just they don't always...
Well, and really, when you're looking at that point in the Gospels, it's still very much the Old Testament economy, so it would be very similar. And I cannot think off the top of my head, but there are a couple of rare occasions in the Old Testament that would appear that Angel of the Lord refers to an angel other than Christ. But the one that you pointed out there with being named as Gabriel obviously is one of those cases because Jesus
right.
is not the angel Gabriel, you know,
right,
in disguise.
Right.
So,
yes. Okay,
yeah.
Thanks for explaining.
Yeah, okay. Gabriel's distinct. And nor is he, I feel compelled to add, nor is he the angel Michael, the archangel, because, you know, the Jehovah's Witnesses teach that Jesus is actually Michael, the archangel. And so there's these different groups that try to teach that Jesus is actually a created angel, which nowhere in the Bible does it say that, and that would be a false teaching there. But yeah, the angels have appeared, and they appeared in the Old Testament. They appeared in the New Testament. In fact, you just pointed out, angel appeared to Zacharias when he was ministering in the temple to let him know about his son that was going to be named John, who became known as John the Baptist. Angel appeared to Mary. Angel appeared to Joseph. And in Matthew chapter 2, when the wise men went to see the baby Jesus, a young child, actually, I should say, because he might have been a year and a half, almost 2 years old by this time when they arrived, they were warned by angels, you know, an angel to not go back and see Herod. And then, of course, you mentioned the song, Angels We Have Heard on High. Well, remember the shepherds watching over their flocks by night. They certainly saw the angels. And so there's many times, there's many places in the Bible where angels do appear. And so do they still do that? Well, you know, there's a lot of people who have stories, and I've heard many stories. I remember a missionary that had a story very similar to what you just shared. He was out somewhere. They were in a remote area in Africa, and their car had some problems as they were driving down the road, and they were stuck out in the middle of nowhere. And the likelihood of somebody driving by anytime soon was pretty slim. And this is in the days before cell phones. And this guy comes walking along carrying a plastic shopping bag like you would get at the local store. And in the bag, he has one particular car part or tool or something like that. And and he says, you guys having car problems? They're like, yeah. And he said, well, let me take a look. And he looks and he goes, you know what? I just happen to have in this bag what you need. And he fixed their car.
This guy happened to have a coat.
Yeah. He just happened to have what they needed. He fixed their car. And I remember the missionaries talking about this at our church. And he said, we got in the car and got it started. And we turned to thank him. And we looked up one side of the one way on the road, down the other way on the road, and there was nobody in sight.
That's the way this guy was. I turned my back, and he disappeared. And he came literally out of nowhere.
So there it is. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 2, be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Let me give you another verse in the other end of Hebrews, at the beginning of Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 14, he's talking about angels, and he says this: are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? You know, we talk about guardian angels. It doesn't use the term guardian angels, but, you know, I have to bear with me. I have a public school education, so. but it says ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be the heirs of salvation. It surely sounds like a guardian angel of sorts, doesn't it?
You know, that particular verse, if I can just interject this, you know, Diana Starr, Brian Starr's wife?
Yes, yeah.
In 2016, when this semi-truck hit my car and totaled it, and I was way over in the extreme right-hand lane, it was a rush hour, and it was like miraculous. My car was spinning around, and then I ended up in this grassy median, and I was totally unharmed, but my car was totaled. And Diana Starr, she pointed out that verse. She says, "I think this verse applies to you, you know, about ministering spirits." And she said, this was your guardian angel." And I said, "Do you think it was Jesus Christ himself?" And she said, "Well, I don't know." But she said, "It seems like a guardian angel." And I used that verse for many years, my key verse, because I was so thankful that I was spared without any injury at all, but my car was totaled.
Yeah.
My car, miraculously, it was spinning around from the extreme right-hand lane all the way over to the grassy median in between, you know, the two highways. So, that verse is very meaningful to me.
So there's many, many stories that people have shared and all. But you did have a second part. Actually, it was the first part to your question because we dealt with the second part first. The first part was the angels and about them being without sin and not being saved. And that's a very simple thing. Let me ask you a question. Adam, when he was first created, was he with or without sin?
Oh, yeah, he was without sin.
Yeah. Now, let me ask you this. When he was first created and he was without sin, was he saved?
I don't think so.
No, because he hadn't sinned yet. So he didn't have anything to be saved from. Yeah, the holy angels are without sin. And so, therefore, they're not saved because they've never sinned. Now, those that did sin, those became the fallen angels, what we refer to as devils or demons. The Satan himself is the chief of the fallen angels, and it's believed that he was the first and led perhaps a third of the angels in rebellion against God. And the big difference between fallen angels and fallen man is that fallen man has an opportunity to be saved, but fallen angels do not. So the angels that sinned, they are stuck in their lost state forever. They can never be saved. And they will spend eternity in the lake of fire. And so they don't have the opportunity that we have. Unsaved people have the opportunity. We are born in sin, but we have the opportunity to be forgiven of our sin and to be redeemed and to go to be with the Lord in heaven. So that's a big difference that we have. We can be saved. Angels cannot. So.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you for explaining that. I always wondered, you know, how could they? Okay, well, thank you for taking my call, and I think you're coming up to the break now, right?
I believe we are. I think about a minute or so we'll be hitting the break here. But, no, good questions, because angels in the Bible, they're very important. They're ministering spirits to the heirs of salvation. And if you want to read a really good story about angels in the Bible, go to Daniel chapter 10, I believe it is, where Daniel has a vision, and he prays and fasts for 3 weeks until the angel comes and gives him the answer to his vision. I won't get into it right now. I certainly don't have time. But it really is a very interesting look at what's going on in the spiritual realm, the angels and the battles that they're involved in behind the scenes that we don't see. So, mm-hmm. and so when you think about angels being ministering spirits to heirs of salvation, there's a lot going on. I have a friend of mine who always tells me, when you get to heaven, your angel's going to wipe his forehead and go, "Whew, I'm glad that's over with." But hey, Nancy, great questions. I want to thank you for calling tonight. And we got a break coming up, so stick with us. We got another hour and a half to go. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield, midway between Akron and Cleveland, just off both Interstate 77 and Interstate 271. The Bible Baptist Church meets each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Well, because the Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, "Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing to Pastor Al Davis at Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio, 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoel.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis.
One
be
day
with you until midnight. Somebody else is chiming in with us there as well. I guess that's a bonus, huh? Let's see. You could find us at livewithpastoral.com. Unexpected things happen from time to time. Who knows? But, yes, you can find us at livewithpastoral.com, and we'll be with you until midnight tonight right here on AM 1220, The Word. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Love to hear from you tonight. And we are going to get to our callers here in just a moment, but just again, reminder, check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Find out more about me, more about the program. Listen to past programs there. There's some articles that are there, and I'm hoping to get some other things added to that here, hopefully in the future. And we also have a link to our home church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church, where I am the pastor. We just had some information about our church. You'll have that again at the top of the hour, but certainly invite you to visit us. We have our Christmas Eve candlelight service planned 2 weeks from tonight. And that would be on Christmas Eve, December the 24th, at the Richfield Bible Baptist Church at our 6 p.m. instead of our regular 6 p.m. service. We're going to have our annual Christmas Eve candlelight service. And so if you're not doing anything on Christmas Eve and you're looking for something just kind of to relax, refocus, and take some time out from your hectic holiday schedule and just get a little time to just to put the focus back on Christ, and I invite you to come out and visit us at our Christmas Eve candlelight service 2 weeks from tonight, 6 p.m. On December 24th, and talking about Christmas Eve, we're planning, pray for us, we're planning a special program. Pastor John Lutz of the North Coast Baptist Church in Lakewood, Ohio, is going to be joining me on Christmas Eve for a special Christmas program. We're going to have a number of things for you, and we're going to be talking about a variety of things in regards to Christmas and the scriptures, and I think it'll be a special program. So pray for us as we try to bring that together. And of course, Pastor Lutz, pastor of the North Coast Baptist Church in Lakewood, also host of For the Cause of Christ every Friday afternoon right here on AM 1220 The Word at 1 o'clock. He's 1 o'clock until 1:30, and then our Friday afternoon program comes on at 1:30 from 1:30 until 2 o'clock. And then, of course, Pastor Andy Rusnacko of the Bible Baptist Temple in Euclid, he comes on at 2 o'clock from 2 to 2:30. Pastor Lutz coined the term the Baptist trifecta there. So I hope you'll tune in on Friday afternoons at starting at 1 and going until 2:30 at least right there. So with that in mind, we're going to get back to our callers. If you want to give us a call tonight, our number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673, and we'll get you on tonight. Oh, I did forget one thing here. I started to mention, of course, our church, the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, main sponsor of the program. We're also sponsored by East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights. I don't want to forget them. Best pizza around, I think. In my humble opinion, it's the best pizza here in the area. And they're located at 4889 Turney Road, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. And you can give them a call at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. Let them know you heard about them here on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Also, if you are interested in getting into the pizza business yourself, maybe you want to start a restaurant, or you got an existing restaurant, you want to add pizza to your lineup, or somewhere else, another facility where you'd like to offer pizza, give Gus a call at East Coast Pizza. It's 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. Ask for Gus and ask him how he can help you get started in your own pizza business. Not a franchise. It'll be your own business. Gus would be glad to help you out. Call East Coast Pizza, 216-341-9100. All right. We are going to get back to our callers. Our number is 888-677-9673. Terry is patiently waiting for us tonight. Terry, welcome to the program.
Good evening, Pastor Al.
Good evening. How are you tonight?
Thank you. Yeah, that's an interesting question that Nancy brought up about angel. This
yes.
wasn't a question I was going to ask, but mm-hmm. I'll ask it anyway.
Uh-huh.
This question. And the question is it possible that we, as believers, we all have guardian angels?
Well, and that's the one thing that we were talking about in Hebrews chapter number 1, where Jesus is talking about, or God is in inspiring Paul to write about angels here at the end of the chapter. And speaking of angels, he says this in Hebrews 1, verse 14, "Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation?" And, you know, okay, here we have angels, and they are ministering as ministering spirits to the heirs of salvation. You know, that essentially would be the definition of a guardian angel, in the sense that they are there to help and to watch over and protect. Now, obviously, God allows some things to happen, but And there is, as I had told Nancy, if you read in Daniel chapter 2, I'm sorry, chapter 10, about the encounter that Daniel has with an angel there, and you get some insights into the spiritual battles that are taking place behind the scenes that we usually only see the results and the effects of. We don't directly see the spiritual battle, but there's a lot going on in the spirit level that we just don't see, and we just simply do not know how often we are being defended against things. So,
right. That's why it was so important for us to pray for one another.
Exactly. And in fact, in Daniel chapter 10, the angel that speaks with Daniel says that in the moment that Daniel began praying, he was dispatched to come to deliver the answer to Daniel. And it really is an interesting encounter because Daniel prayed for 3 weeks, 21 days. And you would think, well, if the angel was dispatched when Daniel started to pray, why'd it take so long? And when you read there, I've just been referring to it. I'm going to turn back to it since we're talking about it here. Daniel chapter 10, when he is talking with Daniel, he says this starting in verse 12. Then he, that's the angel, said unto me, that's Daniel, "Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words." And then he says this in verse 13, "But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, but lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days, for yet the vision is for many days." What this angel is telling Daniel here is he was sent on day one. He didn't dilly-dally. God didn't wait and say, well, let me see if Daniel is sincere about wanting the answer to this vision. I'll just wait him out and see how long he'll keep praying. Daniel prays for 21 days, 3 weeks he's in prayer, and he's fasting and praying. And the angel says, "Daniel, I was sent the very first day. You were heard the very first day, and I was sent." But he said he was hindered because the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. And it wasn't until Michael, that's Michael the archangel, right, is what he's referring to. It wasn't until Michael came and assisted him in his fight with the prince of Persia. Now, the prince of Persia here is not a human being. It is a spirit being, a fallen angel that is influencing the kingdom of Persia. Remember, Paul warned in Ephesians 6 about fighting against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places.
Yep.
That's exactly what Daniel is being informed about here. Principalities
and powers.
That could
have been Satan himself.
Huh?
That could have been Satan himself.
Might have been, or it might not have been, because Satan can only be in one place at a time. The thought that I would say to argue against it being Satan is that the angel says that after he talks with Daniel, he's going to go back and rejoin the fight. And he says a little further down in verse 20, "Then said he, knowest thou wherefore I am come unto thee? And now I will return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I am gone forth, lo, the prince of Grecia shall come." And the Greeks destroyed the Persian Empire and conquered them. And the power in the world transferred from Persia to Greece. And so the spirit that was influencing Greece ascended over the spirit that was influencing Persia here. And even fighting among thieves, I guess, but in terms of the fallen angels. So to me, that would indicate that these were fallen angels, not Satan himself, that were, in a sense, tasked with influencing, and in certainly not in a positive way, but influencing these governments, these kingdoms. And they would have probably been very high-ranking fallen angels, And certainly we know that during the tribulation period, which is yet in the future, that Satan himself will indwell the Antichrist and certainly be the power behind the throne of the Antichrist during the tribulation period. So it could be that Satan, you know, was there for a while and then departed. But whatever the case is, certainly a battle was taking place, a spiritual battle between fallen angels, the Prince of Persia, and later coming in the Prince of Grecia, but between them and the holy angels, the one that spoke with Paul, as well as Michael, the archangel that came to his aid. So, I was just going to say, it's a really interesting look behind the curtain at the spiritual realm here in Daniel chapter 10. Very fascinating when you read it.
And I have no doubt that the fallen angels right now are doing everything they can to stop people from really coming to know the truth.
Oh, absolutely. And that's C.S. Lewis has a brilliant book that he wrote, Screwtape Letters. Many people have read that, you know, basically letters from a senior demon to a junior one. And it addresses, you know, the idea of the fallen angel doing everything he can to keep the person that he's tasked with affecting or afflicting from ever hearing the gospel and getting saved. And then, of course, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say that was basically the question I was going to bring up tonight about sin.
Yeah.
About the sins of the world, what Jesus did for us on the cross is what I was, that was my subject I was going to bring up. But
yeah. Well, and of course, there was a spiritual battle going. You know, the devil certainly tried to keep Jesus from going to the cross and fulfilling the scripture, the prophecies. But Jesus went there. And that really was the death blow to Satan's attempts to defeat God.
Yeah, and the thing that people don't really understand is that Jesus died not just for sins for some. He died for the sins of the whole world.
Right,
the righteous
right.
And the unrighteous.
Exactly. And the key is it's to whoever will accept it.
Right.
And
it's so simple.
Yeah, and see, there's some people who say, no, he couldn't possibly have died for the people who don't accept it because then his blood would have been wasted. No, it's not wasted. It's like putting a credit card in somebody's hands that has no limit, and it's always got cash available, and there's no limit on it. You can take out as much as you want. If you take out $100,000, it's not going to drain it. If you take out $5, it's not going to drain it. And it's available whatever you want. So if you only take out $5, it doesn't mean it was wasted. It means there was $5 you took out. You needed it and you took it out. You know, the payment that Jesus made was sufficient to pay for all sins of everybody, right, like you said. But the only ones that it becomes effective for are the ones who accept that payment.
That Jesus did.
Yeah.
Jesus did for us on the cross. Like, for instance, 1 Peter 3:18. Unfortunately, these are scriptures I looked up. Unfortunately, there's a lot of different translations on this. But,
where are we at? 1 Peter chapter
3:18.
All right, let me take a look here. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. Would you like me to read it here?
Sure.
Yeah, all right. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. And let me keep reading because the sentence keeps going. In verse 19, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometime were disobedient when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was a-preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls were saved by water. That's the whole sentence there running from verse 18 down to verse 20.
In 1 Peter 2:24, it says, he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree that we might die to sin and live to righteousness by his wounds.
Exactly.
Being saved.
Exactly.
And unfortunately, the Pentecostals got that all mixed up because they talk about healing as physical healing.
Well, and, you know, I've always wondered about this, and I've heard people say that. Well, physical healing's in the atonement. And then they ask for prayer about some physical illness.
And they don't get healed.
I have a problem. If somebody's unsaved and they wear glasses, okay? I started wearing glasses when I was in the fourth grade, so whatever age that was, pretty young. I was in, I think, fifth or sixth grade when I put my faith in Christ as my Savior, okay? I didn't suddenly stop wearing glasses because my eyesight was healed. No, I've worn glasses since I was in the fourth grade. I would love to have lost the need for glasses. And I have actually shared the gospel with people in the hospital and seen them trust Christ as their Savior and then pass away and go on to be with the Lord in glory. They didn't get healed from their physical ailment. And by the way, if all physical healing was in the atonement, why, pray tell, would a saved person ever get sick or even die?
Exactly.
That would not happen. See, there's a lack of logic there. By his stripes we are healed is what they refer to, but that means spiritual healing. We're talking the spiritual here, but they conflate that with physical healing, and it's blatantly obvious, and a lot of these people are genuinely born again. There are people who get saved in these churches, but they don't suddenly get healed from their physical ailments. Why? Is God only heal some of them? Only if your faith is good enough. If your faith isn't good enough, you only get spiritual healing and you don't get physical healing? That's ridiculous. I remember talking with a guy one time. My wife was working in a nursing home. This is many years ago. Or not working in a nursing home. She was working, by this time, she was a hospice nurse. And she had a patient who was in a nursing home who, just to put it bluntly, was not a very nice guy. He was very rude and very inappropriate with the nurses. And he actually was there. He had been in prison, if I recall correctly, for murder and some other things. And he threatened people. He made racial insults against people. He was a horrible person. Nobody wanted to work with him. And he was dying. And my wife had to deal with him. And she asked if I would come in and talk with him. And I went in and I began talking with him, and I just felt led to be very, very direct with him, because he knew he was dying and he knew that he wasn't a good person. And so I didn't beat around the bush, kind of uncharacteristic for me. I went directly to the point. I said, listen, you're dying. You know you're dying. You know you're not a good person. And you know that better than anybody, that when you die, you are going to go into hell and you deserve it. I mean, I was uncharacteristically direct and blunt with him. And he did not argue with me. And then I said, you need to put your faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That's the only hope you have. Because you know you're going to die, and it's going to be soon, and you know there's nothing that's going to get you into heaven. And he didn't argue that point. Well, long story short, I prayed with him, and, you know, he prayed a prayer of salvation. I'm like, well, I hope he was sincere. But guess what? I found out later on, before he died, his behavior changed completely. He was no longer rude and crude and disrespectful and mean and argumentative and threatening. He became very compliant or complacent and almost friendly. God changes a person's heart. And guess what? He wasn't healed from any physical ailments. He died. And I think I'm going to see him in heaven. What's that?
It says that once we're saved,
yeah,
he has made us righteous.
Absolutely, absolutely. And so, yeah, it's a very important thing. And like I said, I'm optimistic I'm going to see this man in heaven. And I really am looking forward to talking to him, because I never got a chance to see him again before he passed away, but everybody said there was a distinct change in his behavior. And they would tell my wife, after your husband talked with him, something happened, he's different. Well, it wasn't me. It was God working in his heart. And he never was healed physically. He died.
Today is the day of salvation.
Yes.
We can put off tomorrow what we can do today, right now.
Yeah.
You never know what's going to happen.
Well, absolutely. This is the only time that we know for sure. Yeah.
So. You could go to bed tonight and not wake up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that happens. That happens. Yeah. We hope.
If anybody's listening in and they haven't accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, today is the day.
Yes, now is the accepted time, the Bible says. Yes. So, I know we got about a minute or two left, I think, here before we hit the top of the hour. But did you want to add anything to that? I mean, that was a good thing to bring up for us today.
Yeah, there's actually, I was just looking it up on the internet, and there's actually 100 scriptures here that I've looked up. Unfortunately, there's a lot of different translations on it.
Mm-hmm.
But look it up on the King James Version and look these scriptures up, like 1 Peter 3:18.
Right.
1 Corinthians 15:3, Isaiah 53:5. Yeah. Like there's so many.
Mm-hmm. It's like the old hymn that says, though millions have come, there's still room for one. There's room at the cross for you.
Yeah, when I first started all this, like 3 years ago, I took God more serious. And, I said, if I can save one person, or if I can not save one person, lead one person to Christ, it'd be all worth it.
Yes, absolutely. And absolutely.
That's why I did that. But anyway, thank you for taking my call.
I appreciate that. And you brought up a very good point for us tonight, something that's good to remember. And,
right.
We don't want to give up on people. And we know that we're not going to exhaust God's grace. And we just keep leading people to Christ, and God will take care of it. He'll sort that out. So,
amen.
Well, I appreciate that, Terry, and I'm sure we'll talk again. And and thanks for your call tonight. And we are going to be on for another hour yet, but we are going to take a short break here in just a few moments. And let me encourage you to stay tuned and don't go away. Keep your radio on, and we'll be picking it up here again in just a few minutes. So thanks for listening to us tonight. On July 2nd, 1954, then-Senator Lyndon Baines Johnson offered an amendment to a pending tax bill. No committee hearings, no legislative analysis, backroom deals. The Johnson Amendment was an overt move to restrict freedom of speech and silence conservative nonprofit groups opposing Johnson and his cronies by threatening their tax-exempt status. The result? Many pastors, out of fear or ignorance, stopped speaking about controversial political issues and elections. Today, many believe that the Johnson Amendment makes it illegal for pastors to address political issues and elections. The Bible says we are to fear God rather than men, and to be salt and light in the world, preaching the whole counsel of God. This is Pastor Al Davis of the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, host of Live with Pastor Al on 1220 The Word. True churches and faithful Christian leaders speak out on political issues and elections.